Father, we gather in this place tonight to focus on the love that you have for us. Lord, that you love us no matter what we've done, past, present, and future. Father, I had this picture in my mind of what I saw just a few days ago of our brothers and sisters in a bunker in the Ukraine as missiles were firing and they were lifting their hands and praising you. Father, I pray that it doesn't come that for us, but that we would find ourselves praising you no matter the circumstances, because you lived, died, and rose again. And we are eternally grateful for that peace and for that incredible gift of life you've given to us in your Son, Jesus. We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. You know, many of you know that I was raised in the Catholic Church, and so I thought it was kind of interesting because I had forgotten something at home, and I had to take off and go, and I got caught in the traffic for the Ash Wednesday service from the Catholic Church next door. And the big part of that is I went through all of my years growing up until I went to college going to Ash Wednesday service, but I don't know if I really knew what that really was all about. And I think part of that is for some of you, especially students, we just, you know, it's wonderful to have us, you know, that we can be together to gather and worship together. But part of it is to understand, why do we do something like this? And hopefully you'll understand by the time this service is done. Hey, I'm just going to ask a few people, what is your favorite number and why? I was going to ask one of the students, but I don't want to put them in that. But I think of this, what's your favorite number and why? Marty Gosha, what's your favorite number and why?
Seven.
Seven? And why is that?
Well, two things. It was John Elway's number.
And the number of completeness. Okay, thank you. Okay, Ewan, I think you're over there. Where's Ewan? Ewan, what's your favorite number and why is that?
Ten.
Why is ten your favorite number? You don't know? Okay. That's okay. That's sometimes we have. I want to tell you, you know, there are certain things. This is breaking off something. This is my high school football jersey. Okay? Now, and so 43 was my number. It doesn't look very dirty because I didn't get tackled very much. I was a receiver and I ran away from people. But, you know, it's interesting. When you get a number like this and, you know, having your varsity number is really significant because it's kind of defines you. Now, ever since that's been over 50 years ago, or almost 50 years ago, every time I see the number 43 on a player, I think we have a connection, you know? And so there's something, but right? Because you have a number, and it means something to you, and it means something to me. And, you know, I looked at this picture is of my office, and this picture was for my 50th birthday, and my family had a celebration right in this room with students and friends, and we gathered here with my wife and three children because it was significant, because 50 not only is half a century, that's old, isn't it? But anyway, it also is when I was asked if I would leave student ministries and move into working with adults. And they said, you know, I asked this person that asked me to do it at the time, what did I do wrong? Because I love students and I still do. And so I think having students gather today is really special. So thank you guys for letting us be in your space, but also that we get to do this together tonight. Numbers are pretty important to God too. And there's different times in scriptures you see numbers. You wonder, okay, gosh, God had this figure. I'm going to have these 12, the children of Israel and the 12 tribes and all that played out all throughout the Old Testament going through with the 12 tribes. And then you realize Jesus called his 12 disciples. And so there's significance to the 12. You also realize that, you know, what we're talking about today is between now and the time that we enter into Holy Week, into Maundy Thursday, is 40 days. And so 40 days is kind of significant. I want to share this because when I was reading recently, as a part of our Bible in a year reading, we were reading in Exodus. Right now we're reading in Numbers, and we just got through Leviticus. Boy, it's so inspirational. You got to, Lord, teach me. What are you trying to tell me here? But when I was reading in Exodus a number of weeks ago, I was reading about Moses. And when Moses, you know, we know the story when he went up on Mount Sinai. And the first time when he came back down with the tablets from the covenant that God made with his people, with the Ten Commandments, he saw that they had taken all their precious gold and made a you know, molten golden calf. And Moses was not happy, and he shattered the Ten Commandments. And then God went on to, basically bring some wrath upon the people that turned away from him. And Moses pleaded, God, have mercy on them. And God did to a certain degree. But then you also realize he went back up to Mount Sinai. And this is the passage that really struck me. In the 34th chapter, it said this. And the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there that the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he came down from the mountain. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. And it goes on, it talks about how he had spent time with God. And because he spent time with God, his face shone. And the people were like, whoa, we're blinded by this light. And he had to be veiled later just so that people could still see him. And anytime he spent time, because I believe when we spend time with God, something changes. Something changes in our countenance. Something changes in the way we look. And I think this is what we're talking about tonight, is we're talking about what does it mean to enter into this season and encounter God in a new and fresh way? How do we prepare for what's going to be ahead in these next 40 days? We don't know. We've gone through some incredible seasons, but God wants us to come to him and spend time with him. And so I think it's ironic that Jesus, you know, in the Gospels, after he got baptized by John the Baptist, said this in the Gospels. But in Luke 4, it said this. Let's see. What verse was that? I'll give it to you a second. Lost my moment. Hate that when this happens. But in Luke 4, I was looking at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It says in, I think, the 10th verse. It says that he began his ministry in Jesus, 14th verse. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Gosh. I'm sorry. Verse 1 and verse 4. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they ended, he was hungry. And then the devil tempted him. So he fasted and prayed just like Moses had fasted and prayed. There's significance to the 40 days and why we step into those 40 days. And it says that in all three Gospels, and I could have found it, and the other one's probably easier. But anyway, it's good. It's the first verse of the fourth chapter as we celebrate. You know, I think part of this going in was a lot of times the disciples would, Easter was a special time of baptism. And so going in and preparing for what was ahead, that we would have time to reflect, have time to repent, have time to prepare for this season. And I think it's beautiful that Olivia shared with us, because Olivia and Kaylee, her sister, are going to baptize on Palm Sunday. And they're preparing. And why don't you pray for them? Because that's a big deal for a middle school student to say, I want to follow Jesus. And you know, for her to get up in front of here and read before us, what a wonderful gift. But that's what we're doing as we prepare to move into this season. You know, traditionally we talk about giving up something for this time of year. We give up, you know, sugar or caffeine or social media or whatever that may be, you know, something that we can get our attention back to focusing on God. And I think that's important, but I think it's also important to think about what we might give. A few years ago, I was given this message, and God really stirred in me to give up something, but more importantly, to do something. And so what I felt God calling me to do was each and every day, I would select 40 people in my life, starting with those closest to me, my family members, and I would ask them how I could pray for them that day. So I would send out a text to them and say, "This is a part of Lent. I just want to let you know I'm praying for you today. How can I pray?" Many of my family members aren't believers. Many of those are kind of antagonistic towards God, and I've been praying for them. But you know what? I didn't have one person say no. And I began to say, what can I do to do, you know, to make that part? Now, here's what I'm going to give up, okay? I have this little habit that I, and most people don't know it, but I do these games for about 15 minutes a day, and I kind of trick myself that they're good for my brain to, you know, kind of deal. It's funny how you rationalize things. So when I turn on my computer, I play these little Klondike and the little couple card games, right? Anybody guilty of doing that? I see a hand. Okay, but part of it is that I would give up playing the game, and that would be the time that I would spend in prayer after I sent. That when somebody gets back to me, I send it to them in the morning, and when they get back to me, I pray. I will spend that time praying. I'm not going to play that game for the next 40 days because I want, and hopefully that will become something that God has a part of what we do. It's interesting that Doug just preached last Sunday on Ephesians 4. And Ephesians 4 in 17 to 32 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Matter of fact, when I got ordained, I spoke out of that passage. But I the thing that's really part of that is I'm just going to share a couple of thoughts. And it goes in Colossians. Actually, Will shared in Colossians that passage. We put off things and put on others. With the Holy Spirit's help, with God's help, we take off the things of the world and we put on the things of Christ. We put things on the Holy Spirit. We begin, and if you look, and encourage you to look at Colossians 3, as Paul talked to the church in Colossae and then the church in Ephesus, he said some of the similar things. But a couple of things I want to just point out to you is he said this, that if you put off falsehood in verse 25 and put on speaking the truth. In verse 26, you put off anger and put on restoration. In verses 28, you put off stealing and put on work. On 29, you put off unwholesome talk and put on words that build up others. In 31, you put off bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and malice, and you put on kindness and compassion and forgiveness. You see what I'm saying? If we take off, let's put on what God gives to us. He gives a whole new wardrobe, a wardrobe that is about loving and not about hurting. And so I just, you know, maybe there's something in this 40 days, there's somebody that you need to forgive. And it will take all 40 days for you to, you know, put that person before you and pray for them and that you would forgive that person. Because why? Because Christ forgave us. He calls us to forgive others. Maybe it is you have a trouble with your mouth. Maybe it's sarcasm. Maybe it's just that you have a tendency to gossip about other people or whatever it might be. And you ask God, please clean my mouth, clean my heart so that I can speak truth and love, that I can speak words of life to others, not words of death. So easy. We can get so caught up in that. And I know for you students, that's that in middle school and high school, it's so easy to get caught up in saying things about what people are needed to be said. You need to say things that are about good things about what people are saying. I was at Legend High School this morning for a campus life breakfast, and I had a guy who came over, and I commented how pretty his blue hair was. And I said, you know, because I just said it was kind of cool that Connor had blue hair. And I was jealous because I couldn't have any. So he said, "I could do your beard." And I said, "Well, thank you. Let's talk about that." But I like to invite the worship team up right back up. And I want to encourage you to think about what it is that you can take off with God's help and then what do you need to put on? And as you go into the season, these next 40 days, that you would do it for the purpose of preparing yourself for the celebration of Easter. And in between that time, we have to think about what our Lord went through for us. The scourging, the persecution, the cross. And then he went and he gave his life for us. And as we go to the stations to have the ashes put on our foreheads, it's going to feel, what's this all about? It's a sign of the cross. And I know that on Monday I'm doing a funeral at Fort Logan, and I will say some words out of Genesis. From dust you came, and from dust you will return. That's who we are. But the reality that in Christ we will live forever. And so the remembrance of this time is that we are mortal, but we have something immortal in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are given us life. You have given us life. And I pray that as we think about these next 40 days, we'll think about what you have done for us, that we would turn over to you. And some of the things that we're asking you to take from us, for maybe it's hurt, pain, anger. Maybe it is an addiction to some substance. Could be sugar, it could be caffeine, it could be nicotine, what could be any number of things. But Father, that we would do it because we want to focus on you and what you want to do in transforming our lives, so we can walk into Easter Sunday with an incredible spirit to be lifted by a God who loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. That if we believe, we will live forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.